It's time for Motherlode Views, a look at the issues important to the quality of life in the Motherlode. Motherlode Views is brought to you by Nate's Tree Service. No job is too big or too small. Call 532-2460.
Well, good morning and welcome to Motherlode Views. I'm BJ Hansen, your host. The Motherlode Fair is coming up June 26th through the 29th at the Motherlode Fairgrounds in Sonora. Here to tell us all about the upcoming happenings and the impact on the local community is Fair Manager Kim Hembold. Kim, it's great to have you back on Motherlode Views.
Thank you for having me.
So for anybody who doesn't know you or your background, tell us about how you've been involved with the fair over the years.
I started about 26 years ago. I walked in and the phones were ringing off the hook and asked if they wanted some help. And it's just kind of snowballed from there. I spent 5 years in the front office and then went to livestock. From there, 2022, the end of the year, I was hired as their fair manager.
So you've taken on various different roles throughout your career.
I have.
Is there any type of special theme this year for the fair?
Our theme this year is Starry Nights and Carnival Lights.
Okay. So how'd you come up with that idea?
We were looking for something fun, something different after last year when we, you know, celebrated 85 years. So we had a picture from one of our fair directors that he showed me, and he had taken it when he was leaving livestock one night, looking back across the grounds with all the carnival lights. And it just seemed like this was a perfect fun theme for us to do, and we were able to incorporate his photograph into our poster.
Very cool. Well, anything new or extra exciting this year, looking ahead to this year's fair?
We don't have a lot of new stuff really coming. We do have, of course, no poultry and livestock. So we have some new events happening down there. We're doing showmanship with the poultry kids, and they're going to use stuffed chickens instead. And we're going to have Avian Bowl, and that's kind of a knowledge bowl. So we have some teams of 2 to 4 kids, and they're going to play Trivial Pursuit of a sort and test their poultry knowledge.
And are you going to have special events on each day of the fair?
We do. You know, our main event actually is going to be on the opening day. We're going to have a classic car show, and that will be with the Classic Car Club, and the Sonora Model A group will be there as well. And that event is sponsored by Big O Tires again. From 3 to 7, we just want everybody to be able to come down and check out the cars down near the livestock area. And that's our day that is sponsored by MACT Health Board. So children 12 and under and seniors 62 and better will get in free that day.
Do you get all kinds of cars for that car show?
We do. We have a lot of not just the car clubs, but we've got the general public who just want to come show off what is a classic to them. And maybe it's not a muscle car. Maybe it's just their 1980s Bronco that's sitting in the garage.
So that'll be an exciting thing to see those cars on opening day. How about the grandstand entertainment?
Grandstand is going to be 3 days. We have L&L production with all 3 days, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Friday night, they are going to do an ATV and moto rodeo at 6 o'clock. And then Saturday, truck and tractor pulls gas and alcohol at 6. And Sunday is the diesel show at 2 p.m.
So ATV, moto rodeo, what's that all going to entail?
It's kind of like a classic rodeo, except they're on motorized bikes.
Okay.
Looking for pole bending and barrel racing and just some fun, some loud fun.
And the tractor pull then on Saturday night, it seems like that's always one of the big draws every year.
It is. He did ask this year if we could shift it more Saturday and Sunday to try to get more of his Valley people to come up for the what would have been his Friday show. So now on Saturday, he's expecting even more pullers to be there.
Yeah, as I say, participants, are they primarily locals? You get them from all over the place?
Both.
Both?
We have some local pullers that have been big in the event for years, but then we also get the Valley guys.
And remind me, is there an extra fee for the grandstand entertainment or just one fee to get in for the whole fair?
We just have one fee now. The arena gates will be wide open, so you can come and go, walk in and check something out. If it's for you, have a seat and watch the show. And if it's not, you can walk out and check out our buildings.
How about musical entertainment? What can people expect this year?
We have a lot of music lined up. Thursday, Leilani and the Distractions. We're actually starting out our shows in the afternoon. We'll be on the Manzanita stage, which is inside the Manzanita building. After 6 p.m., they'll move out to the Sierra stage. So the Sierra stage on Thursday night is going to be The Essentials, a local group, and Hypnosis. Friday, they're going to start out Randy Mandy and the Frequency Experience, and then King Hippo and Sons of Rock and Roll. Saturday is Skull Country, North Fork, and Breakaway. Sunday, we'll start with Tarantula and the Turtle Doves and Slow Pony inside the Manzanita, and then Replication and Moonshine Crazy.
I know a lot of the kids and many adults, too, they come for the carnival, too. That's a big attraction every year at the fair. What can people expect with the carnival experience?
Paul Maurer Shows is coming back in again for us, and they have promised they will fill the grounds. Last year, I think he put 17, 18 rides on there, and he said he's going to do the same for us this year.
You know, what advice do you have for people who are going to be coming to the fair and looking for parking and getting to and from the fairgrounds?
We are very limited on parking at the fairgrounds. That's our major nightmare. But we have partners at Tuolumne County Transit. They are offering their trolley rides again. Those depart from the junction, and they will return you back from the fairgrounds to the junction. And this year, we are re-implementing our $3 coupon. So if you ride the trolley to the fairgrounds, everybody who rides is going to be handed a $3 off coupon when they get off. Your ticket does need to be purchased at the box office the day of admission, though.
Sounds like a good deal. Does the trolley run whenever the fair is going, or is it set hours?
They have set hours, but it's basically during fair hours. Their hours are posted on our website, and I think Tuolumne County Transit also has them available on theirs.
And then for the trolleys, is it going to be all 4 days then?
It is all 4 days.
Okay. And then how about the still exhibits and the competitions? That's always a big highlight of the fair. What type of things are people taking part in?
We have a quilt display in there. We do have a lot of photography and a lot of adult fine arts. Those are all right there in our Creekside building, just as you walk through our main gates. We're looking to have a lot of preserved foods and a lot of baked and floral entries. Still numbers this year came in about 650, which is right where they were last year.
So 650 people submitted entries.
Mm-hmm.
Very fun. And then the still exhibits, have they kind of changed over time, or have they remained the same, or have they kind of evolved?
A lot of them have remained the same. We change things up every once in a while. We like to put in some fair theme classes for photography and floral and fine arts. We've asked them this year, do something that has to do with the carnival or Starry Nights.
For some of those competitions, how does the judging process work?
The judging process takes place over about 2 weeks. We try to get local judges. We always want people that are knowledgeable in what we're asking them to judge. They will come in a closed building, work with our clerks, and go through. The preserved foods are all tasted. The baked foods are tasted about a half hour after they're dropped off on Thursday morning.
I bet that's a fun job to taste some of those goods.
I think it is.
We're talking about the Motherlode Fair. It's coming up this year, June 26th through the 29th at the Motherlode Fairgrounds. It's a community celebration. We're joined on Motherlode Views this weekend, previewing all the festivities with Kim Helmbold, who is the general manager, the fair manager of the Motherlode Fair. I'm BJ Hansen, your host. It is a busy time of the year for events taking place across the Motherlode. Again, we're previewing the Motherlode Fair on this weekend show. Also taking place this weekend is the Tuolumne Lumber Jubilee in downtown Tuolumne. All kinds of activities taking place. A programming note, next week on Motherlode Views, we're planning to focus on the new Tuolumne County budget that was approved ahead of the new fiscal year that starts July 1st. Many changes in county government have occurred leading up to the passage of the new spending plan. The guest will be Tuolumne County Acting County Administrator Roger Root. In the next couple of weeks, we're also planning to speak with the City Administrator of Sonora, Melissa Eads, about the city's new budget as well and what it means for local government services. If you miss any of today's Motherlode Views or want to find archive shows from the past, a reminder, you can find those up in the media section of mymotherlode.com to play at any time. Motherlode Views is brought to you by Nate's Tree Service, where no job is too big or too small. Our second segment of today's show is coming up in just a minute.
Nate's Tree Service does more than trim trees. Nate's will remove tree hazards, clean storm damage, provide CDF fire clearance, eliminate beetle infestation, chip brush, and so much more. Nate's Tree Service is licensed, bonded, and insured. They even carry workers' comp for their employees for your protection. No job is too big or too small in the Tri-County area for family-owned and operated Nate's Tree Service. Call 532-2460. That's 532-2460.
We welcome you back to Motherlode Views. We're previewing the upcoming Motherlode Fair. It's June 26th through the 29th at the Motherlode Fairgrounds in Sonora. Getting a preview from Fair Manager Kim Hembold about all the activities that will be taking place. Kim, during the first segment, you talked a lot about the carnival rides and all the entertainment that's going to be happening. A big aspect, too, of course, is the Junior Livestock Auction that we really haven't got into yet. So give us kind of a preview of the Junior Livestock Auction.
The Junior Livestock Auction is the highlight that finishes the year for our 4-H and FFA and independent livestock exhibitors. This year, we're going to have 363 livestock entries. That includes animals and exhibits, and not all of those animals will be up for sale. We only sell beef, sheep, swine, and meat goats and meat rabbits. So we do have breeding animals that are coming in with that. But as far as the auction goes, you know, Saturday, our gates are going to open at 1 o'clock. Our buyers' preview is going to be at 3 p.m., and that's for previous buyers to come and be welcomed. But we want everybody to come down, walk through the barns. Our reception is going to be catered this year by the Perfect Bite from Sonora. Once that auction gets ready to kick off at 4 o'clock, we want everybody to have a plate in their hands and have their spot scoped out there in the stands and be ready to start bidding.
And what advice do you have for first-time buyers who might be coming for the first time?
First-time buyers can get information from motherlodefair.org under the Motherlode Fair tab and then go down to Junior Livestock Auction. There's some information there on how the process works. But if they just want to come to the fair and find out in person, they can go to the livestock office. The office staff there is great, and the Junior Livestock Auction Committee members are always walking around, and they're happy to help.
It always amazes me to see how much money is raised at the Junior Livestock Auction. It's great to see the community come out. How have those figures been over recent years?
We broke $1 million in 2022, and since then we've been handing maybe $800,000 out to the kids, and that's pretty good. We're looking at 300 lots that we sold last year. It'll probably be down this year without the birds. Some of the kids have switched, but a lot of them have just chosen not to exhibit this year. The fair keeps 7% as a commission that we're required to keep by the state of California. That helps to offset our auction expenses, but the rest of that money all goes back to the kids.
And you mentioned no birds this year, so what can you tell us about the state direction that was handed down in regards to that?
The state veterinarian's ban came down in January. We were told that fairs would not be allowed to have any dairy or poultry exhibits at their fairs this year unless we could apply for a special exemption, but that was a kind of a process for what we needed to go through. So we just decided we would make the call in January and give those kids enough time that they could switch to another project and try something new. That means that what we do have there are stuffed chickens and avian bowl, which is our knowledge bowl. And then the kids are just going to do poultry exhibits and try to educate people on the avian influenza that took the poultry out of the running for this year.
How long does a junior livestock auction typically take to complete?
It depends. If our auctioneers are having a great night up there and don't have to work that hard, they can fly through 300 lots in about 4 hours. So from the time it kicks off at 4 o'clock, we estimate that maybe we'll be done by 9:30, 10 o'clock.
What types of skills and things do the young people who take part in this event, you know, leave with?
You know, they leave with a really good education in responsibility and animal husbandry. All of our exhibitors are required to take the Youth for the Quality Care of Animals certification course. And that means that they are learning that for the time they have those animals in their care, they need to give them the best lives possible. But it's really about responsibility and caring for something that needs to be a priority over yourself. They learn money-making skills, but they also have to learn bookkeeping and record-keeping. We ask them to keep a record book, and they need to bring that to us when they come to fair.
They learn how to run a business.
Yes.
Are there going to be special awards and recognition given out this year, or is that something you can comment on yet?
We do have our Outstanding Buyer Award. That will be announced and presented right before the auction kicks off.
So we got through the livestock auction, the carnival, the still exhibits. You know, what are some other things that people coming out to the fair really should keep an eye out for and make sure they don't miss?
Well, you don't want to miss any of our buildings. We have our commercial vendors in the tribal building. We also have some that are located outside. We have a lot of new ones coming this year. The buildings are probably the best place to go. They are air conditioned. If you're looking for someplace quiet that you want to go sit in the air conditioning and eat, the Manzanita building, we have indoor dining. That's also the location for our baby lounge. The Tuolumne County Breastfeeding Coalition handles all of that for us, and it's located right inside the main doors on the Manzanita.
And fair food, that'll be back strong this year?
Of course. We can't have a fair without funnel cakes.
And you mentioned the commercial aspect of it. And what types of sellers come to the fair each year?
We have everything from leaf gutter to PHI and AirMed helicopters. They're going to be there this year selling their memberships. Cutco is probably one of the highlights. But we also have some Tuolumne County Republican Women's are in there. Animal Control is in there. CHP and our sponsors.
Does it take a lot of volunteers and community partners to put on this event each year?
It does. There's no way we could do this without our community partners.
Who would be like some of those groups that help out?
You know, our sponsors, the main ones that we have that help are our presenting sponsors. Black Oak Casino Resort is the presenting sponsor for the fair. The arena presenting is Chicken Ranch Casino Resort. And then we borrow our equipment for the arena from Nearich & Sons. The entertainment presenting sponsor this year is new, and it's LK Lehman Trucking. They've been great with helping us make sure that our concrete work is done around there, taking care of some upgrades to the facility. And the alcohol presenting sponsor is Donahue Sales.
So the big 4 days every year is the focus is the Motherlode Fairgrounds. You know, when it's not those 4 days, looking back to the year in the past and ahead, what are the types of things that are going on at the fairgrounds when it's not fair time?
We have events that are held there almost every weekend, and they can be anything from a quinceañera to a birthday party, memorial services. We just had in March the Monster Truck Show, and the Two Extreme put that on. They are coming back in March of 2026 to do that again. They were pleased with our facility, and they love the area. Motherlode Roundup and Home and Garden Shows. I mean, we are a community hub there.
Does the state still provide any funding for fairgrounds, or are you kind of on your own in that regard?
We get a state allocation every year. This year it was about $48,000. So everything else that we need to operate, we need to generate on our own.
Have there been any projects or any updates or anything over the past year?
We did do some projects. We did a major rebuild on the bucking chutes in the arena before the roundup. We have also upgraded some of our facilities around there. We're doing a lot of painting and small stuff.
Well, we need to take another break. We're talking with Kim Helmbold, who is the general manager of the Motherlode Fair. She's joining us on this weekend's Motherlode Views. The Motherlode Fair is coming up June 26th through the 29th, one of the signature events in Tuolumne County each and every year. Motherlode Views is brought to you by Nate's Tree Service, where no job is too big or too small. We're going to have our final segment coming up in just a minute.
Nate's Tree Service does more than trim trees. Nate's will remove tree hazards, clean storm damage, provide CDF fire clearance, eliminate beetle infestation, chip brush, and so much more. Nate's Tree Service is licensed, bonded, and insured. They even carry workers' comp for their employees for your protection. No job is too big or too small in the Tri-County area for family-owned and operated Nate's Tree Service. Call 532-2460. That's 532-2460.
Welcome you back to Motherlode Views. I'm PJ Hansen, your host, talking with Motherlode Fair Manager Kim Helmbold on this weekend show, the annual fair, June 26th through the 29th at the Motherlode Fairgrounds in Sonora. Kim, have there been many looks or studies when it comes to the economic impact of the fair? Because I know it does have an effect on local businesses.
We are participating in one right now, the International Association of Fairs and Expositions, of which we're a member, decided that they wanted to do an economic impact study for fairs in general, but then they're also going to break it down by state. So we are participating in that.
So stay tuned on those results.
Yes.
Also, we haven't talked too much about the fair board. What is the role of the fair board, and do they meet annually still?
The fair board meets every month with the exception of the month of June because they're busy with the fair, and then usually we try to skip that December meeting. We have 9 seats on the board, and right now only 6 are filled. So we've got 3 vacancies, and they are actively looking for applicants. And those applicants can go to the governor's website to apply. Anybody who's interested, you know, we really want to be able to have a full board. What they need to do is set policy. They're the ones that are kind of governing everything that's going on there at the fairgrounds. They set our policies. They make sure that I'm following those policies. But they are instrumental in the fair planning. We have an exhibits and entertainment committee, and they are very involved in making sure that we're getting the best music and the best grounds acts and making sure that this is something that the people are going to want to come see.
We're also getting right into the midst of the peak summer fire season just around the corner. You know, can you elaborate, too, a little bit of the role that the fairgrounds plays during those hot summer months when the fires are raging?
The fairgrounds is a state facility, so we are part of the Network of California Fairs, which means that we are in the emergency network. We can be activated at any time. We can be used for an evacuation center, or Cal Fire has come in before and used us as a fire camp. If we're used as an evacuation center, we have Red Cross that comes in. The buildings are open, but we also do have the RV facility there. So everybody can, you know, if they have their RVs, come down there and we'll give them a place to stay that's safe.
Yeah, that's another aspect we haven't gotten into, too, the RV camping and the camping that's available at the fairgrounds. Is that a pretty popular offering this time of year?
It is. We actually have RV people there all year. A lot of them want to come in. They're staying there while they're working. They do contract work. We have a lot of people that maybe their loved ones are at Adventist Health and they just want to stay a little closer to the hospital, so we give them a place where they can put their trailer.
Well, again, we're nearing the end of this weekend's Motherload Views. We've been previewing the fair and the role of the fairgrounds that it plays in Tuolumne County. So again, to give us a quick snapshot, the preview, the theme this year of the fair and what people can expect during those 4 days.
We are Starry Nights and Carnival Lights this year, so we are going to light up the grounds with twinkle lights and bright carnival lights. We're going to have the best entertainment. Our headliners for Thursday are Hypnosis, Friday Sons of Rock and Roll, Saturday is Breakaway, and Sunday is Moonshine Crazy. We have an opening day car show on Thursday. Everybody should really go down and check that out on the livestock lawn. It's sponsored by Big O Tires of Sonora. Arena events are free with your paid admission, and those will be happening Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Our arena is dark on Thursday. We really want to encourage everybody, though, when you want to come to the fair, ride Tuolumne County Transit's trolley from the junction. That's your best bet. You don't have to worry about parking because the junction provides that for you, and we're going to provide all the fun.
How about the hours this year of the fair?
This year we are 3 to 11 on Thursday and Friday, and 1 to 11 on Saturday and Sunday, and our buildings and barns close an hour early, so they close at 10 p.m.
And for tickets, is there any benefit to do pre-sale tickets, or are the same when you get if you just go to the gate those days?
Pre-sale tickets are about $5 cheaper. You can get those on our website. The gate prices, though, adult $17, children 6 to 12 are $12, 5 and under are free. And it's $10 for seniors 62 and over. A one-day unlimited ride carnival band at the carnival window will cost you $45.
I was going to ask, too, about carnivals. So do you get the carnival bands ahead of time? Is there benefit to do that, or is it the same price when you go
there
to the
fair? There is. Ahead of time, you can only buy the four-day. That's not available there. The four-day band, we call it the golden ticket, gives you 4 days of unlimited carnival rides for $85, and that's really your best value. Otherwise, you're saving $10 off of the window price for a carnival band.
The musical acts that you mentioned, are they kind of more local performers, or they come from all around the region?
We stuck a little more local this year. We do have a few of them that are coming out of the Valley area up around Sacramento. But for the most part, you know, we have Leilani, and we have Breakaway and Replication. The essentials. I mean, we really want people to apply to come perform at the fair, and our applications were down a little bit this year.
Yeah, it's really a great way for the local bands and the musicians to get their name out and their music out, and a huge audience with Tuolumne County and people coming from all over to see them at the fair.
It is, and that's their stage. I mean, these are their people. This is where they need to be.
And then tell us again the grandstand entertainment, the highlights this year.
We are going to have an ATV and moto rodeo put on by L&L Productions Friday at 6, and then the truck and tractor pull Saturday and Sunday. Gas and alcohol is Saturday at 6, and diesel is Sunday at 2.
This event, too, of course, has been a longstanding tradition in the community. What do you know, and what can you tell us just about kind of the history of the fair and how it's evolved over the years?
Last year, we spent a lot of time. We went back through our books and all of our historical records, and we looked at some of the different ways the fair had been set up in the 40s and the 50s. We didn't have all the buildings. Everything was put in tents. So we have a lot of pictures of the grounds where we just have tents that are laid out everywhere. There's really no way to tell where anything was. This is going to be our 86th year at the 220 Southgate address there. So through the years, you know, we have built barns, we have built buildings, built the arena, of course. But this is something that the fairgrounds is constantly evolving. We have to adapt. We make our changes based on what the community is asking for, but also what we need to do to be ready for emergency situations.
So 86th year at the current location, where was it prior to that?
It was out on at the racetrack, I believe, for a while. The DAA was actually founded in the late 1800s, and then it had gone dormant. Once it moved to 220 Southgate, that was kind of the permanent location, and it was felt that the state thought that was a perfect place for the fairgrounds. It was central to downtown, and we see that a lot with our renters that come in. They like being close to downtown. We're the perfect place for the Motherlode Roundup. You know, they have the parade, and everybody can walk right down to the Roundup and have a rodeo. But it's definitely a challenge being just 25 acres there in the middle of downtown. There's nowhere to expand. We don't have a lot of parking, and we are very sorry about that, but we don't know how to grow more land.
I know last year, getting onto a different topic, last year you were kind of happy to talk about an upcoming first annual Brewfest at the fairgrounds. Is there going to be a second annual this year?
There is. They decided as soon as the first one was over that they wanted to have a second annual. So the Mountain Misery Brewfest will be October 18th of this year. They did shift the times a little bit. They'll be 2 to 7 p.m. this year. They have three bands, about 30 breweries, some great food vendors coming in. It's going to be a great time.
One of those newer things and just extra amenities coming in, assets coming to the fairgrounds and hopefully helping the local economy.
Yeah, the Brewfest is put on by our friends of the Motherlode Fairgrounds, and their Brewfest committee is really dedicated to helping the fairgrounds raise money and make those improvements that we need.
What can you tell us about the Friends of the Motherlode Fairgrounds? Who are they and what they do?
Their president this year is Ron Hamilton. So the Friends of the Fairgrounds was developed in order to support the fairgrounds after the state funding was cut. One of the main things that they help us with is they run the nonprofits for the alcohol booths during the fair. But the rest of the year, they are looking for volunteer projects there on the grounds.
And as we mentioned, the fair is coming up June 26th through the 29th. Let's do one last plug, too, for the livestock auctions. That's such an important part of the fair.
Junior Livestock Auction is at 4 o'clock on Saturday, June 28th. Everybody should be there. Everybody should come look at those kids' animals and grab a bidder's card and get your checkbooks out.
A lot of people know the process, too. If they do buy an animal, what kind of is next in the process? But for a new business who wants to buy one, what are kind of the steps afterwards to eventually getting the product and the meat?
We're going to ask you if you want to send that animal to cut and wrap or if you want it to go to resale. Resale means you're not going to take the meat. You're going to send it to a packing plant. But if they want to take that the meat, then we're going to ask them, you know, pick your locker. Where do you want it to go? And then from there, we ship everything. They pay us, and then they're going to turn around and pay maybe the meat shop or Rawhide Meats or Sanders Meats in Turlock to have that animal cut and wrapped and eventually end up in their freezer.
Good information to know. And then, of course, for the kids and the young at heart, all kinds of carnival rides come in this year?
Oh, yes. We're going to have everything from a giant Ferris wheel to the freak out to a good old-fashioned carousel.
Well, Kim Hembold, it's been great having you on Motherlode Views. Of course, the fairgrounds plays an important role in Tuolumne County all throughout the year, and then it's in the spotlight June 26th through the 29th. Thanks for coming on Motherlode Views.
Thank you.
Again, that was Kim Hembold. She is the fair manager of the Motherlode Fair. Again, as we mentioned, June 26th through the 29th. Tickets are available now for the upcoming Motherlode Fair. I'm BJ Hansen. I was your host. And a reminder that next week on Motherlode Views, we're planning to focus on the new Tuolumne County budget that was approved ahead of the new fiscal year that starts July 1st. What exactly it means for local government services. Many changes in county government have occurred leading up to the passage of the new spending plan. The guest to talk about it all, Tuolumne County Act acting CAO, Roger Root. Also in the next couple of weeks, we're planning to hear from city leaders of Sonora as well about the new budget for the city and what it means for local government services. If you missed any of today's Motherlode Views or want to find past archive shows, a reminder that you can find those up in the media section of mymotherlode.com. It's easy to do. 5-4 playback at any time. And we'll see you back next week for more Motherlode Views.
You've been listening to Motherlode Views, a look at the issues important to the quality of life in the Motherlode. Motherlode Views has been brought to you by Nate's Tree Service, where no job is too big or too small. Call 532-2460.